the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Isn't that sweet this morning? It's good to be able to come to church and feel that sweet spirit. As long as a church has what we've got here this morning, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You don't have to worry about a church as long as God's Spirit is there. And you don't have to worry about it. I told a preacher that not long ago. He said, "Boy, we're having a lot of trouble in our church." And I said, "Well, you got, is God still moving?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Well, you ain't got nothing to worry about. 14 millionaires quit. You ain't got nothing to worry about if God's there." Amen. And 13 of our millionaires have quit. They never came to start with. They never was here. I'm just kidding. All 14 of them did. But anyway, as long as the Lord's there, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 8 this morning. The book of Genesis chapter 8. And I want to say something to you that I felt like the Lord gave me last night. I was up really, really late and early this morning. And I was thinking about a thought. And I don't know who all this is for this morning, but I know there's some. You may be 12 or 13 and need this. You may be 25 or 30 and need this. You may be 45 or 50 and need this. You could even be 65, 70 and need this. This man was way older than anybody in here. And he had this happen. His name was Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark," this is after the flood, "thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar." That's the first thing he did when he got out in the new world. He built an altar. Before he built a house, he built an altar. Before they built a business, they built an altar. Before they built a school, they built an altar. That's what you need, brother. You need the altar. "And the Lord, unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart," now look, this is after the flood. He done wiped everybody else out. "I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake." Now there's some of you need to get a hold of that right there. All the bad stuff's gone. He ain't going to curse the ground no more. He's cleaned it up. "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat." There's your four seasons. Summer and winter, day and night. You don't have to worry about global warming. If Al Gore had enough sense to read that one verse of scripture, we could have gas at $1.49 a gallon. That's right. But that's another message. "Shall not cease." Now chapter 9, verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." Now look. Here's the whole world drowned. All the people, except what was on that ark, were dead. All the animals, except what was on that ark, were dead. Noah's house, gone. His sons' houses, gone. The banks where they had their money, gone. All their friends, gone. Cars, gone. Houses, barns, outboats, gone, except for the ark. You know what the Bible said? God said he blessed Noah and his sons. And he said, "All right, go out and start over." I'm preaching this morning on the subject, starting over. Starting over. There's some people in our church here this morning that need to start over. Just start all over today. Today. Let's just make up our mind that we're going to start over. I'm glad there is such a thing as New Year's. I really am. I'm glad. I'd hate to just keep going, what's this month? I don't know, there ain't no months. Day after day after day. It feels good to me when December's over to say, all right, it's January, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. Don't it? Just starting over. Starting over is good for us. I'm glad. I'm glad God fixed it to where life ain't just, it just ain't big one long day for 75 years and then you die. Isn't it good that nighttime comes, you go to sleep, then you wake up and you say, I'm going to start up. So I'm not a brand new day. I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. Now, don't y'all listen to me for a minute. There's a lot of people in here this morning. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. You've had a rough week, or you've had a rough month, or maybe you've had a rough, let's see, what is this, June? Rough year, or maybe you've had a rough 2 years. You've had it, maybe the worst in your life. I don't know. But you know what you can do today? There ain't one thing you can do about what happened yesterday, about what happened last week, about what happened last month. But I'm so glad and thankful that I get to tell you this morning, thank God you can start over this morning. You can start brand new. Listen, I don't care how bad a man's past is, his future is spotless. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. I'm telling you, that's good news. I'm glad there's a new week. I really am. I'm glad Sunday comes. You know what? Every Sunday night I go home and I think, all right, I'm going to do better this week. And I think, I'm going to do better. I do that on Sunday night. Sometimes I think, now next Sunday I'm going to be more ready to preach. I'm glad that things go to where you can start over. I'm glad we get to start a new year. I'm glad we get to start a new week. I remember life is like a book. Your life's like a book. I remember one time I was going through a really, 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 one of my really, really bad times. I mean, they hit me every several years. And I'm telling you, I was so low, I had to look up to see the bottom. I'm telling you, you can get down. I'm not a down person. You know that. I'm super, super hyped up. But I got down. And I got low and I got discouraged. And I was preaching in a camp meeting up in Tennessee. And there was a preacher from Texas staying in a motel. They put us in a motel. And boy, I was over there and I was crying. And I was laying around over there whining and trying to get ready to preach. And I was telling him, and one guy looked at me and he had some really encouraging words. He said, well, Danny, I don't see how you stand it. I said, appreciate that, man. That was a blessing. And then I heard another preacher come by. He was real country. And I shook his hand. And I said, man, pray for me. He said, Lord God, I don't know what I'd do if I was you. And I said, thanks for those encouraging words, sir. But you know what? You know what I was learning? That a man of God was beside in the other bed over there in the room. They put us all together in those days. And he was beside me and old Danny Farley. And he's a wise man because his pastor was Jack Wood from Shady Acres Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And Danny Farley looked at me, and it was like God got on him. It was like God got on him. When you're going through a real hard time, if you'll hang around church and hang with God, God's going to give somebody a word for you. Amen? He really will. God's going to give somebody a word for you. Now, if you go out and act stupid, and you've hit the bars and the clubs, and you go out and get in, you're going to get exactly what you got coming to you. More hell to pay. But if you're going through a hard time, and you'll stay in church, you'll stay with God, and you'll keep trying to do it, God's going to give somebody a word for you. And I was laying there in that bed that night, and you know what Danny told me? Danny looked at me. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I'm going to tell you something. And I looked at him, and I'll never forget it. This has been over 20 years ago. He looked at me, and he said, your life is like a book. He said, you have now come to the end of a chapter in that book. Now, he said, you can sit there and look at it, or you can go back and wish it's different, or you can do whatever. But he said, you're going to have to turn the page and get into the next chapter and see what the rest of that book's about. And those words went down in my heart. And I said, you're right. I said, I'm going to have to get a grip. I'm going to have to get a hold of myself here. I can't lay around and cry and feel sorry for myself forever. I'm going to do what you said. And I said, I'm going to turn the page and I'm going to see. I can't go back and undo it. I can't go back and rewrite the book. But thank God I can go and find out what the rest of it's about. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Thank God there's better days ahead. Thank God He's got something better for you. Thank God He's got something more for you. I try to get people to come to church all the time. People have, and you have a tendency. You have a tendency when you're really having trouble, you'll pull away from God if you're not careful. I tell people this all the time. When you're having trouble, you'll do one of three things. You'll turn to God, or you'll turn to drugs and alcohol, or you'll turn to another person. Everybody. I've been doing this now for 35 years, and everybody I've ever seen go through a devastating time in their life, a death, a divorce, stuff like that, you'll turn to God, or you'll turn to drugs, or you're going to turn to another person. And you know what I'm going to tell you to do? I'm going to tell you to turn to God. You run to God with everything you've got. You got up, you get on that floor, and you put that Bible down in the floor, and you put your face in that Bible, and you say, God, I'm not getting up till you help me, till you speak to me, till you help me. And I'm telling you, God in heaven will look down and have pity. The Bible said God don't despise a broken heart. He don't despise. Are you listening to me this morning? The devil will tell you God don't want you. The devil will tell you God don't care about you. The devil will tell you you've messed up too much. The devil will lie to you. But you get that old book down. Let me tell you, there's a gracious, good, glorious God in heaven that's ready to wipe all your sins away and give you a brand new start today. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God, I'm glad. And you might have to have several new starts. The truth is, we all have to start over once in a while. Amen? I know people try to go to church. This one girl came to church, one night. She's about 13 or 14 years old. And I got up and preached just like I did. She said, I can't listen to him. He give me a panic attack. My preaching gave her a panic attack. I took that as a compliment, brother. Really. Amen. I took that as a compliment. I give you an anxiety attack. I'll shout. Hallelujah. Amen. I know what's bothering you. It's your conscience. But anyway, you can start all over. You can start all over. Now, I'm going to look at some people in the Bible that started over, and I'm going to tell you some things about. Listen, the devil will lie to you. The devil will lie to you. You know what the devil do to you, girls? He'll tell you you're the most beautiful thing in the world, or some fool, lying fool out there will tell you the most beautiful thing in the world. Then he'll get your life all messed up. Then they'll drop you, and then you're in a mess, and then your conscience is guilty. You don't want to go back to God, and then he done got you in trouble, and the devil's got his foot in the hole. You should have never believed that fool to start with. Say amen. That's right. That's like that girl that said, they said she sent her pictures into Ripley's, believe it or not, and they said, we don't believe it. Bad, isn't it? Well, that guy said he sent his picture into the Lonely Hearts Club, and they sent one back and said, we're not that lonely. but anyway, I'm telling you something, brother. You can't find it out there in that world. You can't find it. One girl came to church. We tried to get this girl to come to church having a problem, and she said, I don't do church. Who started that stupid language? I don't do church. That's not English. It's not problem. You mean you don't go to church? Is that what you mean? I don't do church. Like, let's do Mexican. There's something that sounds sort of wicked about that. That sounds sort of sick to me. I don't do Chinese food. Let's do Mexican food. You mean let's go eat it? Is that what you're talking about? Speak English. She said, I don't do church. I said, I think you mean I don't go to church. Can I help you there with the English language? When I can help you with the English, you mad shake. But I'm telling you, brother, listen, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes you want to give up. Ball games are like that. I'm glad that if you get beat in a ball game, that you get to play another one. You can start over. Lord, I would hate. I played on two different teams this year. And I ain't never been on a losing team. And I hated it. And we had two losing teams. And it was awful. And we'd play and play and play. And these teams would beat us. Well, I played on a church team, and then I played on them old man team, and they're all right playing them old men. They're mean and fat and they sling their elbows and they don't even play by the rules. But anyway, I play with them young guys and we'd play ball and I would hate for the look up there and the score be 75-50, and then I'd say, we'll get to play them again next week, and then you start out and it's 75-50. I'm glad to get to start over. Zero. Clear the slate. Start the whole thing over again. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Let's start over today. Clean slate. You say, preacher, can I do it? Yes, thank God you can do it. I'm going to tell you some people that did, and I ain't got time to tell you their stories. Noah started over. It says in the Bible, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine? You say, well, preacher, you just don't know. I've lost everything. Look at Noah. He didn't have nothing but that ark. He didn't want to live in that thing. He'd been cooped up in there, them stinking animals for all a year. He said, Lord, I don't ever want to see that thing again. That's one of them carnival cruise things. Like, kill me. I can imagine how it smelled on there. Them carnival cruise people had it made compared to where Noah was at for a year and something. I mean, with giraffes and elephants and everything in there for Lord have mercy. I don't know what kind of sewer system they had, but the carnival cruise was a lot better. But anyway, I mean, Noah started over. You know what? Job started over. Job lost everything he had, and he started over. Job lost his son, his daughter. I've heard people say, well, I just lost everything I have. I'm just going to kill myself. No, no, no. Start over. Start over. Start over this morning. Brand new start. You say, well, Brother Daniel, it can't never be the same. Noah could have said the same thing. It could never be the same. It could be better. He could build another house. He could raise another family. He could do what God wanted him to do. Start over. Start over. Don't live in the past. Too many people let the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob them of the joy of serving God today. Too many people let the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob. You say, what am I going to do? 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 You ain't going to get nowhere like that. Just say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do what God wants me to do today, and tomorrow I'm going to do what God wants me to do tomorrow. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. If you do what you ought to do today, you'll be where you ought to be tomorrow. Thank God, people. That's preaching now. I'm telling you, if you want to be in the right place tomorrow, do the right thing today. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. Some people do what they ought not to do today, and then tomorrow they wonder why they're where they're at. You've been fooling around doing stupid stuff, and you wonder why. What do you mean, why? That's like me doing like this. How'd I wind up over here at this door? God, you're not good. Well, stupid, I run over here. You know what I got to do? I got to go back. I got to say, Lord, okay, sorry, ain't going that way no more. No more. Going this way. Start over. I messed up. I lost time. I did blow it. I wasted all them steps all the way over and back. But thank God, I've got a new day. And thank God, I'm about to shout, y'all. I'm about to shout. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm preaching and y'all are sitting there listening, because I'd feel a whole lot better. I'm about to shout. I thank God. I thank God. I bless His holy name that we can start over with a brand new future. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Give you a panic attack if you ain't listening right. Amen. The prodigal son started over. He went out there and partied. I know a lot of people that get backslid and they go out and mess with drugs, get drunk, blow their testimony, act stupid. I don't know one or two. I know one or 2,000. And you know what I tell them? You get that under the blood, and you get it right, and you start all over again. If somebody judges you, walk right by them like they ain't standing there and go on and serve God. You say, well, people ain't going to believe in me. Oh, it don't matter what they... Listen, if you're right with God and you know in your heart you're right with God, it don't matter one who, what Sister Blabbermouth across the street thought about it. It don't matter who gets on Nosebook and says bad things about you. If you're right with God, brother, you get up on there and sing and do what God wants you to do and tell him to jump in the lake and swallow a snake, come back up with a bellyache. Prodigal son started over. He found out the hard way. Look, I got a lot I can say about this. The best way to start your life over is turn away from everything that you know is wrong. Everything. Don't hold back one little corner of sin that people don't know about. Everything. Everything. I don't mean you're perfect. I don't mean you're not going to have a wicked thought. I don't mean that. I mean if you are deliberately allowing sin in your life, you ain't going to get nowhere till you turn from it. You might as well just accept God will bless you. God loves you. He wants to dump out blessings, but he will not do what he wants to do with you if you are deliberately wallowing around in sin. Turn from it. The prodigal son had to leave the pig pen. I'm leaving the bars, I'm leaving the clubs, I'm leaving you people that drink and carouse and commit adultery. I'm going this way and God will bless you. And the next thing you got to do, let me give you some good advice here this morning. You know what helped me feel all my troubles? I had about 5 requests for my book that ain't even been wrote yet those Sunday morning. I'm going to set me a price on them. Get me some royalties before I die. Amen. But you can't have them until I die. But I ain't going to die because the Lord's going to come, so you won't ever get to read it anyway. I'm just kidding. But what was I saying that got before I got off on that book, Leo? You don't know? You sat on the front row and you ain't... Well, anyway. Here's how to get your mind off your troubles. Get your mind, and this is what helped me, get your mind on somebody else's problems that's worse than you. The last thing you want to do when you're having trouble is go out and visit or get on bus route, and that's exactly what you need to do. You know what you want to do? Lay around in bed and watch TV and take antidepressant medicine. Now, I ain't a doctor, but you ought to throw about 90% of that junk away. Listen, the best way to get undepressed is get your joy of the Lord down in your heart. I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you this, brother. Drugs ain't the answer to your sin. Drugs ain't the answer to your sin. You say, I'm depressed. Meet us out here Saturday morning at 9:30, and I'll help you get undepressed. You go see them little kids running up to the door saying, hey, and grab a piece of candy like that. You go see them. Some of the places where they live, where you have to step over the step, step over a dead cat to get in the trailer. And I've seen old kids picking Rice Krispies or something out of the carpet and eating it there and having their mama drunk and passed out. Listen, the best way in the world to get your life back on track, get out there and try to help somebody else. Listen, if you get interested in what God's interested in, God will help you with your problem. I'm telling you, it'll work. I went to preach when I didn't more feel like preaching. Yeah. I went and preached when my heart was, I thought I'm a big hypocrite. And but I went up there and I got up there and I told them people how to, and you know what God did? He worked out my problems. He did. I'm telling you, get your mind off your problems. Don't have a pity party. Yeah. Get out. Just get you a handful of tracts and go in a rest home and just say, here, God bless you. Here, God bless you. Here, God bless you. And God will help you. Yeah. One day this week, Monday, what day was it? I guess it was Monday. I come out the end of my road, going to town. And, come out into my road, Hoppy Tom. There's a lady, woman, standing there with a little trash bag. Was standing there looking like she didn't know what to do. And I was having a pretty rough day myself. And by instinct, like I always do, I rolled down the window. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, yes. She bent over and I said, what's the matter? She said, me and my boyfriend had a fight. He threw me out. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I should get in. She sat down in the car, put that little bag. I said, is that everything you got? She said, everything I own. I'm from Michigan. He's kicked me out. She said, I have nowhere to go. I have nothing to. And I went to Corey's house. Kelly spent the night with Corey last night after church. She don't always drive back home. Went out there, took her to Corey's house. And I said, here, y'all, talk to this lady. She was about 40 years old, been treated like a dog. And on the way uptown, I started talking to her, and she started crying. And my heart went out to her. And then we took the Bible and led her to the Lord. She said, I said, you ever thought about getting saved? She said, I want to be saved. And listen, in an hour's time, we took her to go groceries in Marion, got her a load of food. And Brother Joe over here, it's a nice film, at the Woodlawn Motel, and he got her room for a couple of nights. I helped her out up there. And you know what? I was coming back down the road, and I thought, I ain't got no problem. I ain't even got a problem. I was shouting, it was bubbling up in my soul. I'm going to tell you something. Now, y'all listen to me right now. When you're going through a hard time, your heart's broken, you're going through a divorce, and I know there's people in here that are. The worst thing in the world you can do is sit around and just feel sorry for yourself. You make yourself go. You say, I can't afford it. These things are free. These are not tracts. They're tithing envelopes. We'll take that too. Go out and get out tithing envelopes. But don't go to the trailer parks. Go to the rich people's house. I'm telling you, get your mind on somebody else. Best thing you can do is get in a bus ministry. Our bus workers have been attacked like crazy lately. Y'all show up here Saturday morning, and let's just go knock on a bunch of doors. I'm telling you, it's therapy, brother. It's therapy. It'll do more for you than ever antidepressant in the world. I wasn't a bit depressed when I let that lady out. I got to lead her to the Lord. That's three in the last few 2 or 3 weeks. One of them I didn't get to lead to the Lord, but she was already saved. And then there was another one standing on the side of the road, a girl, and she was just standing there in her car. I stopped. I said, ma'am, are you all right? You need help? And she said, her car died. And I, the redneck West Virginia coming out at me, drove her car. Her car wouldn't start. So I let it roll down the hill backwards. I was going down the highway backwards in her car to the garage where John works. Ain't that right, Brother John? Don't tell nobody I did that. I rolled that woman. I said, you drive my 4Runner. And this girl, she's about 21. She said, I know you. She used to go to our church in Marion. I had no idea who it was. And I got in her car and let it roll backwards down the highway. I said, now you put them flashers on that 4Runner. Somebody come there and kill us. I was going down the highway, going backwards in her car. You say, ain't you scared what people would say? No. Because I'm doing what God wants me to do. You say, I don't like it. Jump in the lake, brother. Take your drugs. See if that gets you anywhere. I'm telling you, you better get your mind off yourself and on somebody else, and God will help you. He'll bless you. You say, ain't you scared one of them people will rob you? Ain't you scared of fooling around with them idiots you've been running around with? God ain't big enough to protect me. I might as well quit. I was with Martin Luther one time. He said this guy carrying had a gun, and they hired this man to kill him. Martin Luther, brother. Not Danny Castle. Martin Luther. I mean, there's been people following me trying to kill me before. But he followed him around all day, and he turned around to Martin Luther and looked at him. And he said, I've been following you for 12 hours trying to kill you. And Martin Luther turned around and he said, well, why didn't you? And he said, my curiosity got the best of me. He said, why in the name of the Lord, you're the most famous preacher in the country, don't you carry a bodyguard with you? And Martin Luther turned around and looked at him and he said, God's taking care of me. He said, that guy threw down that knife and run off down the street. If God ain't big enough to take care of us, we're sunk anyway. I'm going to tell you, I got a lot to say about this, and we got to go. You're going to be mad because the Methodists are going to beat you to the steakhouse. We ought to ask God to forgive us if we get the steakhouse before Methodists do. Be a sin. Start all over. Start all over. Peter did. Peter absolutely blew his testimony. He blew it. Cussed. In public. His sin was public. I don't even know Jesus. Blankety blank. And in 2 months, he stood up and preached one of the greatest sermons. And 3,000 people saved. You know why? He got down on his knees and he bawled his eyes out and he got it right. And he said, Lord, I ain't never going to do that again. I'll stick with you from now on. And buddy, he did. They crucified him upside down. I'm telling you, if you'll do that this morning, start all over. God will wipe your slate clean and white as this pulpit is right here, and you will have no sin on your record according to the Word of God. Samson started all over. And he messed up majorly. David, murder. Murder. He had a man killed, stole his wife, and married him. That's bad. You know what David did? He went into the house of God, and he got down on his knees, and he bawled his eyes out. God gave him a new start. Come on, brother. I want you to stand this morning with your heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed.